Thank you, everybody, for coming. Thank you to the Stone family for hosting, for sponsoring. And it's close to the children. Chaim Yitzchak Aryeh ben Sharona, Talia Leah bas Sharona, Malka bas Sharona, Naomi bas Sharona, Rafael David ben Sharon Yishvi Zeche, Legadlam, Moderech HaTorah, Zilad HaNachas, Simchas in this home, Mitzvah Hashem. Okay, so Purim is upon us. And the topic of request was related to Emunah in our daily lives. And you can't go wrong with a topic like Emunah. Every single moment of our lives, the life of a Yid is governed by Halacha, and Halacha is rooted in Emunah. A person with Emunah approaches life with a completely different outlook, will have a different way in everything which they do. And since we're approaching Purim, I thought it would be appropriate to try to find an element of Emunah in the Megillah which we can take into our daily life. And not just a lesson, but a yesod. Because there were some requests to speak about Shalom Bayis and raising children. And many times when we address, how should we say, specific circumstances, and we just have a tool for that situation, so that may be very good in the moment, but I think that the greatest matana, the greatest gift that we can give and we can receive is a yesod, is a concept, is a teaching which we could therefore apply in all situations, not just here and not just there, as if we're waiting for that moment to happen that I can push the button to say, this is where I use that now. There's so many principles and depths of Emunah beyond what we've been taught. Because Emunah is a very rich sugya, very deep sugya. And it's something which never ends, because Hashem never ends. So just to discuss this Nekuda for a moment, and then we'll go on to the Mar Makom. As you see, we have a lot of work to do, but we'll go through it in a strong way, in a timely way. It's Hashem. You know, when our children come home from school and they want to share with us that they learned that there's one Hashem, and we're all very excited about that, and you were to question them further and to say, what does it mean that there's one Hashem? So they'll say to you, you know, Hashem is one. There's only one Hashem. There's Hashem, and there's only one Hashem, and there's no two Hashem. And we say, that's great, we're very proud of you. And wouldn't expect more of a young child to know that there's only one Hashem, and one means one, and not more than one. However, as we start to grow up and we start to mature, and we say that pasuk every single day, sometimes many times a day, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, we begin to understand that the word Echad, which describes Hashem in the Torah, does not only mean one, as in one in number. And if we go through our whole lives thinking, when we say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, that means that Hashem is one, and there's no two gods, and we went with that every single day of our life, Ad Me'avir Asim Shana, thinking that art school definition of one is one, and no more than one. That would be a very, very sad life. Because the Ramchal explains that when the Torah says that Hashem is one, one is just the best word to describe Hashem. Because what can we possibly say about the infinite one, he who has no beginning, who has no end? And so really the entire Torah is a taich, is a description of what it means, Hashem's oneness. And that's something which we would like to explore, and something just to be conscious of as we grow older and as we mature. Is my understanding of Hashem's oneness growing as I grow? And therefore, how does that come into my life and make for differences in every situation which Hashem sends me? How do I apply Hashem's oneness to this? So with that introduction, let's begin with a few questions about the Megillah. We say, Mishenichnas Adar Marvim B'Simcha, as you see at the top of the page. That's a Gemara. It's not just something which we sing. It's not just a song. Mishenichnas Adar Marbe Misimcha means that when Adar comes, we're overjoyed. Marbe Misimcha means it's not just a regular simcha. It would seem that it's the most celebrated point of the year. Why? Isn't Sukkot called Zman Simchaseinu? Isn't every yontiv in the Torah a time of simcha? Yet, not only when it reaches the yontiv of Purim are we celebrating, but even when it's Rosh Chodesh Adar, as soon as the month of Purim comes in, the month of Adar comes in, we're already high. Why should that be? Secondly, we're going to be reading Megillas Esther, and the entire nes of Purim is really accredited to Esther the Tzadikas, Esther Hamalka. And the Vilna Gaon already says, and others do as well, let's try to understand the words Megillas Esther. Megillah doesn't just mean a scroll, it means to reveal. Esther isn't just a name, it means concealment. Megillas Esther means to revealed, concealed things. Where do we find in the Megillah the revelation of concealed things? Something to think about as we proceed. Thirdly, when we conclude the Megillah, we break out into Shoshanas Yaakov Tzahal V'Samecha. As if to say that the conclusion, or perhaps the idea, the message of the Megillah is exactly that. And we'll go through a little bit of Shoshanas Yaakov and we'll try to understand. One of the things which we all know is that we say Baruch Mordechai, and Aruch Haman, and Brucha Esther, and Arura Zeresh. This is like the climax of the reading of the Megillah, to become, to say those words. Shoshanas Yaakov Tzahal V'Samecha. And everybody's holding hands, and we're singing, and we're dancing, we're celebrating. That's the Niggun. Why? Why is that so? So to begin, and I broke this page up into sections. As you can see, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, just to help us navigate through this in a smooth way. So let's start with one, obviously. We mentioned Mishenechnas Adar Marbe Besimcha. And below that is a pasuk in Sefer Devar. It's a very tragic pasuk. V'anochi haster aster panei bayamu. Hashem tells Bnei Yisrael through Moshe that a time will come where I will conceal myself. I'll call harir asher asa. Because you turn to foreign gods, Hashem says, we can have a relationship as long as all is well. But as soon as you turn to other gods, I have to conceal myself, then we're lacking in our relationship. So the next four marmakomos are going to come to explain to us, as most of the shir is, from the cheder of the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh and his Talmidim, an understanding of this very difficult pasuk to swallow. V'anoichi haster panei mikem. Hashem says, I'm going to conceal my face from you. Now take a look at the first Mara Makom on the right side. And of course, I'm going to translate everything as we go along. V'anoichi haster aster es panei. V'hu l'charet mi gadola. So this is from the grandson of the Baal Shem Tov, the Degumach Nefraim. He says, this is a wonderment. Eich efsher shakodesh baruch hu yaster panei miso chalila. How was it possible that Hashem Yisborach would conceal himself from Klal Yisrael? Chalila, God forbid. Ve'eich yihye lehem chayus utkuma. How would we be able to survive? How can we withstand, even for a moment, if Hashem hides his face? Ki zeh kol chayusim shel Yisrael am krovo. Our chayus, our life, is through him, shenekroyim banam lamakom, that we're called children of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the question. How could it be? How could it be that there should be a hesher panim from us? It's a very Hasidish question. How could it be that Hashem would hide himself from his children? So there's a very Hasidish answer. Ach dihinei hamashal hu lemelech she'asa kama mechitzas b'chizas einayim. Imagine a king who made many partitions, many divisions, b'chizas einayim, but it was all an illusion. Lifnei heichalu, in front of his palace, shlo yuchlu dikanes elav. Imagine such a sight, a king who creates divides, walls, but they're all fake, they're imaginary. V'nistatir sham, and he's hiding behind these walls, but not just regular walls. Asa chomos ve'esh, and then he puts fire, unaharos, and rivers. Ba'chizas einayim, but everything is all illusionary. Hakol lifnei banav, in front of his children. V'hinei misha haya chacham, a wise son, we know that there are four of them, the wise son, nasan lev ladavar, he pays attention and he wonders about this. He's looking at the palace and he's thinking of his father and he knows that he's a son and he's wondering about all this. Eich efshar sha'aviv haracham, and how could it be that my father, the compassionate one, who loves me so much, lo yisrat laharos banav lebanav yedidav, that he wouldn't want to show his face to his children, who he adores? And he comes to the conclusion, the correct conclusion, ein ze ki'im achizas einayim, this all must be an illusion. It looks very real, but it's all an illusion. V'ha'av roitze lenasos im yishtadl haben lavoy lav. My father just wants to see how determined I am to reunite with him. Ube'emes ein shum hastar. But the truth is that there really is no concealment. V'hine miyad kishem hastar l'nav shalilich banahar. As soon as he devotes himself, he gathers the courage that he's going to go through the river. Nistar achizas einai v'avar bo. All of a sudden, he's able to see that it's only an illusion. And he's able to cross safely. V'chein v'chol ha-mechitzos, whether it's the fire, the water, the walls, ad shabal heichal ha-melech, until he comes to the chamber of his father, the king. V'yesh tepesh, but then there are those who are foolish, the foolish children, she'yori l'haschel aver ha-mechitzos, that they're afraid. They haven't come to that conclusion. V'yesh over ha-mayim, some cross the water, but when it comes to the next level, when they see the imaginary wall, when they see the imaginary fire, they're not sure and they're hesitant to cross. Now apply this to our question. And then he writes, and this is what's hinted to us in this pasuk. When we read the pasuk, it says, I will conceal myself from you. That's not how you read the pasuk, says the Baal Shem Tov. V'hu merames kan v'anoichi haster. I am in the hester. Haynu kishetitein lev lohaven sh'anoichi hu ha-hastara. Don't be fooled. If you see that there's a concealment of Hashem's presence, it's not a real concealment. I am the concealment. It was me all along. Now let's just put this into perspective and we'll see it again in another way. The question was, says in Pasuk that Hashem will conceal himself. Will Hashem actually conceal himself from his children? That's how we understand the Pasuk. What's the answer? Absolutely not. Hashem will not conceal himself from his children. It may seem to be a concealment, but a person who calls the bluff and he says, I know you're there and you're not hiding from me. You are the hiding. How could you hide yourself? If you call the bluff on Hashem Yisbarach ke'ilu, something amazing comes from that. Let's continue. Next column over at the top. And this is from another sefer from the Talmidim of the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh who puts it in another way, but it's just nice to see another perspective. Amnam anshei das hayoidim. And he's going along the same lines. Those who know, shekol mechitzos v'chayim asbaras, know that all the walls, all the iron walls, the chol levushim v'kisuyin and all covers and concealments, who etzem yasusu yisbaruch delas aser panamine. This is a lesson from the Zohar. Everything is a Kodesh Baruch Hu. In Cain, ein ze hastara setzlo. There are no concealments before you. Kimo shekosavti b'malkom achel, I explain elsewhere, the Pasuk and Tehillim, alufeinu misubalim. Kishe yoidea she'alufa sh'olelam. Hashem is called the Aleph of the world. Aleph. The letter Aleph, the number one, the only one. Alufeinu, when we understand that Hashem is Aleph, Misubalim, he explains, means Az Sovel Hakol. You can handle everything in life when you know that Hashem is everywhere. You can handle it. Because I'm not dealing with this person or with this situation and this challenge and it's too much for me to bear. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu is everywhere and He's in everything and in my life I'm acting with HaKadosh Baruch Hu constantly, even with other people I'm interacting with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Is that not the most relaxing, glorifying feeling? I could be soivel now because my emun allows me to see situations in a different way. And to put it a little bit more clearly, take a look at the next Mar Makam. Shamati Mimayri Habashemtov. This is the told us Yaakov Yosef, the great Talmud. He explains, Ki b'yedias ha'adam shehashem yisbarach melech ha'aretz kvado. When we understand that Hashem Yisbarach is everywhere and he fills everything, v'chol tnuwa u'machshava ha'kam yon Yisbarach, everything which we do, every thought which we have, he's there. Az b'yediazu, knowing this, yisbardu kol po'a li'avin. It allows all of the nisyonos, all of the menios which we have in our lives, to fade away. Many times we think, because we live in a world where everything is do, that unless things are put into action, that there's not going to be results. But by yid, everything is emunah, everything is perspective. It's not that the action is the more important and that comes first. How we think, how we train ourselves to think, what our belief systems are, will determine the circumstances. And that's something which we're heading in. If we start to think about now the Megillah, the defining moment of the Megillah, we'll see how this is an introduction to that. But take a look, one next Mar Makom, just to conclude the idea, and this is very important because it really is the culmination of this thought. Shamati miharav ha-Mechiyach, I heard from the Rav, the Tzaddik, who was called the Mechiyach, Rabbi Aryeh Leib from Polana. He said in the name of the Baal Shem Tov, Shezu enyan ha-Teichacha va-Anechi haster aster. There's our pasuk again. Hashem Yisbarach says, I will conceal my face from you. Shehastara gufa etzlo behester. That the hastara is behester, meaning I don't understand the secret of concealment. Ve'enu mamim al kolpana be'emuna, I don't have the proper emuna. Shebevadei tov ganas ba. Not just that Hashem is in every situation, but if Hashem is there and we know that He's completely good, that means that behind the veil, there is a goodness which I can't see. Kikisha al kolpana mamim be'emuna, this is very important words. Kikisha al kolpana mamim be'emuna, shevadei tov ganas be'gava. If I believe with a true emunah that Hashem Yisbarach is here, and really the circumstances just beyond my ability to see it is actually good, hagam she'ina mevin hatov, even though I don't know how, mikol makom nimta kadim minenu, that sweetens the circumstance. So if a person has a court case, l'mashal, or if a person is going have to meet somebody which they know it's going to be a very difficult conversation, and I know that Hashem Yisbarach is there, He's with me, He's in the circumstance, and I don't exactly see how this is going to be good for me to be productive, but I believe that He's there, and I believe that wherever He is, things are good. That thought process itself reveals the good. Now, with that in mind, with these yisodas in mind, let's go to section number 2. And the top left corner, this is a quote from Megillah Esther, the 5th parak. We're holding here at the time of the Megillah, where Mordechai gives Esther the charge to go into Ahasuerus and basically to save the day. That's where we're holding right now. This is a very dramatic turning point of the Megillah. And Esther says she's going to do it. She fasts for 3 days, and she's ready to go in. And this is what it says. Vayihi bayom hashlishi, was on the third day, vatilbash Esther Malchus. Esther, she clothes herself with royalty, Chazal say, as we'll see in a moment, that she wore Ruach HaKodesh. Vatamor b'chata b'yisal malach ha-pnimis, and she was standing in the inner chamber, but in the courtyard, ne'echach b'yisal ha-malach opposite, where the king would be sitting. And she could see the king right opposite her. It was a very, very long hallway. And there were many chambers to get to the king. But as soon as she turned the corner, it must have been a very far distance, but the king was in sight. And when the king sees Esther, his queen, she's standing in the courtyard. She finds favor in his eyes. Vayoyishat ha-melech le-Esther shavit hazav. The scepter, the golden scepter, comes down. Asher b'yado in his hand. Vatikra v'Esther, she approaches. Vatiga b'rosh ha-sharvit. And now she's touching the head of the scepter. Vayomar lo ha-melech. And the king says to her, Malach Esther ha-melka. How do you do, Esther? Ma b'kash ha-seich. What would you like? Chatzi ha-malchus v'yina se-melech. If you want half the kingdom, it's yours. So we have here three psukim. And of course, like every Chazal, there's much more behind the scenes than we realize. Take a look at the Chazal, the Medrash, the Gemara, which explains really what's going on. Vatilbash Esther Malchus. We said before, Esther, she puts on her royal clothes. Chazal say, no, shalav shesa ruach hakodesh. She put on very big madrigas. She was going in armed to Achashverosh. Vatamo b'chatzav es ha-melech ha-pnimis, and she was standing in the inner part of the courtyard. However, kevan shehigi lebeis ha-tzlamim, like we had said, there were many chambers to get to the king, and one of those chambers was the chamber of the idols. Nistalka hamen ha-shechina, the shechina left her. She lost her ruach ha-kodesh. Now you can imagine what type of a tzara Esther felt like she was in at the moment, because she had prepared herself for 3 days. She fasted, she davened, she rallied B'nai Israel in a massive tefillah rally. And here, she had her Ruach HaKodesh, she had that confidence, but as soon as she got to the Avodah Zarah's, she lost it. That's a moment of panic, is it not? Her life is on the line. It's live or die. We're not done. Next Mayer Makom, this is the Medrash. Shiva Chadarim Hayu LaMelech. The king had 7 rooms, and Esther had to go through all 7. Nichnas Alechedar Rishon Olishen Olishishi. She made it into the first, and into the second, into the third. V'kimen Shenichnas Alechedar Revi. When she came to the fourth one, Hischal Achashverosh B'Charik B'Shina B'Machaskeis. She saw that Achashverosh was starting to like grind his teeth. He was very interested in what was happening. Omar chaval al da'avdim v'la mashkachin. He started to say to himself, this is a pity. This is so sad. Kama chafatzi v'kashi l'vashti amalka shetikon asafanai. Remember that day when I wanted that Vashti should come into me and she didn't come? V'la biksha l'kaneis. She refused. V'gazarati aliha hariga. And I put her to death. V'zu. And now this Esther nichnas of kizoyna shalo bershosh. She's coming in without permission. Amdala b'emsa hacheder harvi. When she saw that he was grinding his teeth, almost like antagonizing her, she paused in the fourth room. And there were many guards that she had to pass by, and there were many guards she would have to encounter. But the early ones couldn't touch her because they had passed their station. And the later ones, the guards to come, couldn't touch her, meaning they saw that the king was angry, maybe the king wanted to put her to death, but they couldn't leave their post. She was somewhere in like no man's land. But at that moment, the Medrash says, she turned to heaven and she said, "Al tirchak mimeni." Meaning the Ruach HaKodesh was gone. She was on her own. And she turned to Hashem with a plea and she said, "Don't leave me in this moment." Next Medrash. Asher lo kadas. The Pasuk says that she went in without permission. And the Medrash explains, "Hischilu b'nei hapalten oymin." So the guards, they started to murmur and to say, "Achshefu kovis aleha." Finally, the time has come. The king is going to nail her. V'nigzer aleha misa, and he's going to decree on her misa. After all, that's what he did to Vashti. V'haya kol echad v'echad omer. Each one of the guards were saying, "Ani otel es begadeha." They're already planning out the spoils, what they were going to take from her corpse. This one says, "I'm going to take her clothes." V'zeh omer ani otel es. I'm going to take her jewelry. V'zeh omer ani otel es kachel. She's listening to this. She can hear this. In their mind, Esther is already dead, and they're planning it all out. I'm going to take her, I don't know exactly what a porpiria, some type of a decorative garment. Again, this is in that capital before, Tehillim Tov Beis. The pasuk says, Esther started to say, they're dividing up my clothes. They're already auctioning off. Since she heard this, since she saw this, she turned to Hashem once again and she said, "Va'ata Hashem le'ezras yichusha. I need you more than ever now, Hashem." So these midrashim are describing the heat of the moment. Let's continue. Vatisa Esther esena havateres pnei melech. And Esther lifted up her eyes and she saw the king. Vihine enav ke'esh b'aras. The Medrash describes that his eyes were on fire. Merayv hachemar shebaliba, because of the fury he felt in his heart. Vatakir Hamalkas Ketzaf HaMelech. She said, "I've seen this anger before. This is not good." Vatiz Boihal Ma'od Vatafik Rucha. So she was petrified and she was ready to faint. Vatesam Rosha Sal Alanas Mechazimina. Chazal said that she went in with 3 other women and she lied her head on the shoulder of the one to her right. Vayayar lekeinu v'yachmol alamai. And then our God in heaven, v'yachmol alamai, he had compassion on his children. V'yifin letzar hayasayma, and he turned and he saw the pain of Esther, who was a yasayma. Asher batcha bai, who trusted in him, that she put her faith in him. V'yitin lachin lifnei ha-melech, and then Hashem, he blew into her a special spark, a special chen, a charm. V'yosef yofi al yafa v'hadu al hadara, and he made her even more beautiful than before. And then look what happens. V'yakam ha-melech v'behalim v'kisai, and then Achashverosh, he jumped out of his chair in a haste. V'yaretzel Esther, and he runs towards Esther. And again, this is a description which you don't see in the three psukim in the Megillah. But this is actually what happened. Vayaretzel Esther, and he comes running to Esther. Vayechabka, vayenashka, and he gives her a hug and he kisses her. Vayashech zorat havara, and then he embraces her. He puts his arm over her neck. Vayomerle, and he says to her, Esther Hamalka, lama tifchadi, why are you so afraid? Ki hadas hazayis asher sidarnu, einelam utelas halacha. This decree that nobody's allowed to come in and announce, this doesn't apply to you. Basha arayasi v'chavrasi, you're my beloved. How would I, or how could I, put a decree like this on you? The Medrash is saying something very puzzling at the end. That the king is saying to her, why are you so afraid? What do you mean, why are you so afraid? Didn't 2 minutes ago you had these, your eyes were popping out of your head and they were on fire? Why would she not be afraid? Did you not realize what was going on? But the answer is, like the Medrash says, that Hashem had compassion on the Yisaymer Asher Bat Chaboy, that she went in with Bitachon and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And what Esther understood going in was this emun that bitachin, that this may be a very difficult and challenging situation. Of course it was. This was live or die. But she wasn't going in to speak to Achashverosh. In her mind, she was going in to speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because there's no place in the world which HaKadosh Baruch Hu was not. And even when she passed the corridor of the Geshkas, of the idols, and the Ruach HaKodesh went away, but guess what? The Eibishter doesn't go away just because there's Gachkas there. He is everywhere. There's no place where he is not. And as soon as she came to that recognition, to that realization, that I'm going in and the Ribbono Shel Olam is here, and I'm not interacting with Achashverosh, the king, I'm interacting with the king of all kings, that was the turning point. And if you take a look at this next Maramoko, again for the Medrash, it really opens up our eyes to what's going on here. It says early in the Megillah, Asher l'melech Achashverosh, the king Achashverosh. The Medrash says, Lama herechom Achashverosh. Why does it say the king Achashverosh? If it says the king, we know it's Achashverosh, right? Rabbi Yudlin v'Rab Levi, Amr b'shem Rabbi Yochanan. Kol makom shenemer b'megillah zu l'melech Achashverosh, b'melech Achashverosh akash m'dara. Anytime that the Megillah says the words, ha-melech Achashverosh, it's referring to Achashverosh, the king. The person Achashverosh. However, kol makom shenemer, if it says anywhere in the Megillah, La Melech Stam. It just says the king, but it doesn't say King Achashverosh. It just says the king. Mishamish Kodesh. That's referring to the king of all kings. L'Rameis V'Lidrosh Al Melech Malchi Al Melech HaKadosh Baruch. And that's something also to pay attention to. Fascinating how many times we find in the Megillah that it'll say HaMelech Achashverosh. Sometimes just Achashverosh. Then it'll just say HaMelech. Now, let's go back to the psukim, which we mentioned before, as an introduction to this medrash, to this scene. Let's read it again. Vayehi b'yom ha-shlishi, at the top of the second column. It was on the third day. Va'tilbash esem alchas. She put on her royal clothes. Va'tamud b'chatzer beis ha-melech ha-pnimis. There's the mention number one of Achashverosh. Beis ha-melech ha-pnimis. What does it say? Ha-melech. Doesn't say HaMelech Achashverosh. Let's continue. Noichach Beis HaMelech. Once again. VeHaMelech Yoshev Al Kisei Malchus BeBeis HaMalchus Noichach Beis HaRabbais. You have three times in this pasuk Achashverosh is mentioned, each time as HaMelech. Not once HaMelech Achashverosh. Let's continue. Vayirikir Oz Hamelech, a fourth time. Doesn't say Hamelech Achashverosh. Es Esther Hamelka. Omenes Bechata, Nosachim Bina Vayoshet Hamelech Le Esther Shavid Azav. Asher. Six times it says Hamelech, not once does it say Hamelech Achashverosh. What does that mean? That when Esther went into Achashverosh, she wasn't seeing Achashverosh. She didn't go in to deal with Achashverosh. She went in to deal with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Just to help put this into perspective, Achashverosh, until Perek Hei, which is what we're looking at right now, his name is mentioned in the Megillah 19 times until now. All of a sudden here, not once does it say his name, just HaMelech. Could that just be coincidental? She was only dealing with Melech Malchei HaMelechim. If you take a look at section number three. And this is really amazing. The Gemara in Chulin, it says, it asks a very interesting question. Where do we know Moshe from the Torah? Where do we know Mordechai from the Torah? Where do we know Esther from the Torah? Of course, the Mefarshim deal with the fact, what do you mean, where do we know them? I mean, they're mentioned explicitly in the Torah. But the Gemara wants to know, where do we find the root of their neshama? What's the root of the neshama of Moshe? What's the root of the neshama of Mordechai? And there's other examples there too. One such example, the Gemara asks, Esther min ha-Torah minai. Where do we know, where do we see a hint to Esther in the actual Torah? Not just in the Megillah. Esther in the Torah. And lo and behold, look what it says here. Esther min ha-Torah minai. Do you see it by the third, number three? Esther min ha-Torah minai. Where do we know Esther from the Torah? Shenemar. Va'anoichi haster aster. That's our pasuk which we began with. This is the hint to Esther. This pasuk, which was explained before in section number one, is a description of the root of the neshama of Esther. Va'anechi haster aster panim, therefore going back, we saw the explanation means that this world is filled with obstacles. It's filled with challenges, nesionos and menios. But the root of everything is Anechi Haster Aster Pani. Everything is me, says Ribbono Shel'olam. You think that they're concealments, but they're not concealments at all. Does that not describe Esther Hamalka in the Megillah at this turning point, the fate of the Jewish people forever, that when she's going into Achashverosh and she looks at the situation and she says, there are so many rivers and fires and walls which I have to climb over here to get to the king, and then who knows what? And she passes every single one of them. And then the Melech comes running out and says, you passed the test. The king is saying, you made it past all of the imaginary, illusional obstacles. V'anechi haster aster panim mikan. Is this not the perfect description of Esther Amalka? Is this not the perfect description of what's taking place? And if you take a look, as we mentioned before, Tehillim Kapitel Chaf Beis, which were a few of these midrashim were taken from, and many have the minhag on Tainus Esther, and each day of Purim, regular Purim, Shoshana Tzayakov, to say Kapitel Chaf Beis, and it's very kedai to look at it and to see the entire translation, but we just took a little portion here as it pertains to our discussion. Take a look, Lamnatzeach Ala Yalas HaShachar. Such a beautiful kapitel. Mizmor le David, Keli Keli lama zavtani. These are the words that Esther says. My God, why have you forsaken me? And of course, it's very dramatic when you think about Esther saying this kapitel as she's going through. Rachok mishuasi divrei shagasi. I feel that my Yeshua is so far. Divrei shagasi. I'm roaring and calling out to you from the depths. Elaykai ekra yama v'leisane. I call to you by day and there's no answer. V'layla v'ladum yali. And in the night and you're silent. V'ata kadosh shoshev tzilas yisrael. But I know you, the Holy One, you sit and you await the tefillos of Klal Yisrael. And look at these words. Becha batru avoseinu. In you our forefathers had bitachon. Batru batafaltemo. They trusted in you and you saved them. Eilecha zaku v'nimlatu. They cried out to you, our forefathers, and you spared them. Becha batru v'leibayishu. They trusted in you and they were not embarrassed to trust in you. Esther is not saying that I was in a tough situation and I'm turning to you that you should make a nace for me. Esther is saying, I'm trusting in you. She's not asking for a miracle. She's saying, you know why we deserve a happy ending? Because I trust you. I trust that you won't let me down. I trust that you're here. And therefore, I'm not calling for a miracle. I'm not calling for some supernatural event to come in to save the day. I'm saying, you're here, and I know you're here. And I know you love me, and I know you care for me. And I know that there's good behind the scenes. Can you just show the truth? Can you be there for me because I'm trusting you? That's Esther's tefillah. Like the Medrash had said, that our Father in Heaven saw that there was a Yosema who was trusting in Him. And then she goes on to say, and this is a few psukim later, that's why there's a gap here, Ki lo yibaza v'loshikatz enos ani. Hashem Yisbarach, you did not despise the plea of the ani, of the impoverished one. But look at these words now. V'lo hister panav mimenu, and there's no hester panim here. You did not hide your face from me. That's everything which we're talking about. Anochi aster aster panimikem, that there really is no hester. And you can have bitachon when you know that there's no hester panim really. And as she goes on to say in a few psukim later, ki lashem hamluchu amay shabagoyim, the kingship belongs to you. Is that not what we saw before in the Medrash, that it says hamelech, 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 and you would think that Achashverosh is a king, he can stand on his own 2 feet, and he could do what he wants to do. But Esther Malka is saying, no. Ki lashem hamluchu amay shabagoyim, that even though it would seem that the scepter, that the rulership is in the hands of somebody else, but really the truth is Hashem, and I know all along, Ki Lashem Amlucha really belongs to you. It's a really a perfect description and explanation in the tefillah of Esther of everything which we're describing in detail, the entire experience of Esther going in and emerging alive and with the salvation of the Jewish people. So one of the things which we asked, going back to our questions before, maybe we'll just address a couple of them. We spoke about, first of all, upgrading our emunah. And upgrading our emunah means that the more that we better define what it means, Achdus Hashem, that Hashem is one. That it's not Echad Aleph with a lowercase Aleph, it's capital. And even in the Siddur and in the Torah, it says Shema Yisrael Hashem Elkeinu Hashem Echad, that the letter Dalet is a very big Dalet. As if to say that there's no end, there's no beginning to explaining Hashem's oneness. The Megillah is the Taich. It's the explanation of what it means, Hashem's oneness. Megillas Esther, Shoshanas Yaakov, that we conclude with Shoshanas Yaakov after reading the Megillah. Shoshanas Yaakov, Tzahal V'Samecha. We sing the song, Shoshanas Yaakov, Tzahal V'Samecha, that the Shoshan of Yaakov was Tzahala, was joyful, v'sameich, and happy, b'roisim yachat tchilas Mordechai, when they saw the tchilas of Mordechai, teshu'asam ha'yisa l'nasach, v'sikvasam l'chol v'dor. There's something about this nace of Purim, that there's an eternal lesson, that the Yeshua is eternal, and it gives us hope in every single generation. L'haydiya, and what is that message? Shekol koivecha lo yivoshu, that all those who hope in you, that they put their hope in you, lo yivoshu, you will not embarrass them. You will always be there for them. V'lo yukamu lanatzach, and will not be this embarrassment eternally, kol hachay simbach, for all those who trust in you. That's the message of the Megillah. It's not that there was once something in history which happened that Klai saw we were in a very big tzara and Hashem came and saved the day. And we're like, okay, that was a nice story. We don't need to repeat the story every single year just to remember the story. It's a lesson which applies to Klai Yisrael as a nation every single year, but in our lives personally, every single day. And the message is l'haydiya, to know that all those who put their faith and their trust in the Ribbono Shel Olam, He will not let them down. And how do we know that this is referring to Esther? Who is Shoshanas Yaakov after all? Who are we talking about? So Shoshanas Yaakov is referring to Esther. How do we know? Take a look at the next Maariv Makom. It's just 3 words, but it's a quote from the Arizal. The Arizal says, if you take Esther, it's Gematria Shoshana. That's what he says. Esther is 661. Shoshana is Gematria 661. So when you're saying this song about the Shoshana of Yaakov, which literally means the rose of Jacob, the Shoshana of Yaakov is a reference to Esther. Who teaches us this lesson? Anybody who trusts in you, Hashem, you will never let them down. Who teaches that to us? Shoshana. Who's Shoshana? It's Esther. Esther is our teacher. Let's go to section number 4. We'll conclude with this. Once again, a very big rule to know. When the enemy is standing in our way, whether as the enemy of our people or personal challenges in our life, our go-to is to cry. Of course, to pull out Tehillim, that's every Jew's best weapon. But we get down and then we cry and we turn to Hashem and we say, this is so difficult, can you please save me from this? Meaning, can you intervene? Can you come take me out? The Baal Shem Tov taught, the greatest tool which we have is to be besimcha and to go with bitachon. And the simcha comes from the bitachon. If I look at the situation and I say, you can't harm me, you can't do anything to me, and I know that behind the scenes there's something great which is awaiting for me here. And we call the bluff because we say, anechi haster haster panim mikim. I remember the Megillah. I remember what Esther taught me. Is that there's Hashem in every single situation, and there's no Hester. I know that you're here. When a person has that bitachon, then he can be besimcha. V'zehu shekasov ki besimcha seitzi. That's what the pasuk means in the Navi, that with simcha you will go out. You will go out of the gullus with a simcha. And again, this is not an empty simcha, like putting on a nice song and dancing and making, jumping, singing, clapping, dancing for what? It's not something which comes from without, it comes from within. That if a person is very deep in his emunah bitachon and understands the oneness of Hashem in a true sense, then it's a bitachon that you know that it's real when it brings a person to simcha and the challenges that he faces. Because he knows that he's dealing with the Ribbono Shel Olam. Va'afilu imraya to the next Mayim Makom. Even if a person sees shechalilo aver esalav is a siba, that there's something in his life which he feels like he can't overcome. Shelafi ra'ois b'nei adam nirashen atoiva, and it doesn't look good. Im kol ze yamin v'yiftach b'Hashem yisbarach. Again, he has a emuna and bitachon in Hashem. B'simcha rabba. With a simcha. Shekol ma'ad aver rachmar l'tav aved. That everything that Hashem does is for the good. V'gamzu l'toiva. Because everything from him is not bad. I guarantee you, says the tzaddik, this is from Sefer Gulas Yisrael, I guarantee you that through your emunah bitachon, that it will turn over into good. It will turn into a good result. It's there. It's hiding. What brings it out? Our emunah bitachon in that truth. And this is the time which we're living in. There's not a time in history that this pasuk, v'anechi haster aser panim mikem, is more relevant. It's more relevant, especially these past couple of years. So many people in their personal lives, families, businesses, it hasn't been a tkufa like this. But as Ma'amin b'nei Ma'amin, we understand and we believe that something amazing, amazing can come from this. Amazing. And if it hasn't yet, it's because we haven't applied in a deep way, says the Kedushas Levi, this teaching. A real emunah, a real bitachon, that Hashem Yisbarach is good, He's always good, He's present in every single situation. And we approach it in that way, then slowly but surely, all of the rivers and all the fires and all the walls, they fade away. And we're dealing with the Melech, and we always were dealing with the Melech. And that's what this last Mar Makam is teaching us, the Reb Zusha said in the name, which goes back to the Baal Shem Tov, Shekoyden Bias HaMashiach, before Mashiach comes, Mashiach Tzidkenu, which we believe is now, that all of the wonders and all of the miracles and all the revelations will go away. For some, all the famous miracles, things which we heard about. All those things which fired us up to serve Hashem, those will all disappear. So what do we have left? The only thing that will keep us going at this time before Mashiach is a person's emunah. Sadik b'emunah siyachya. Everybody goes through challenges, but those, and we have, some have more, some have less, but everything comes exactly from a good book, like we saw before. Alufeinu musubalim. If Hashem, who's the Aleph, is in our life, then we can handle it. We have the shoulders to handle it. Not just to handle it, but to turn it around and to bring out the good. It goes very nicely because the tzaddikim say that the month of Adar, like we said before, Mishenechnas Adar marbim b'simcha. Mishenechnas Adar marbim b'simcha. When Adar comes in, is one of the questions. So then marbim b'simcha, it's a time of tremendous joy. Why? The answer is, the tzaddikim say the word Adar can be broken up into two words. Aleph and Dar. What does dar mean? Dar means to live, dira. A dira means a living place. Aleph dar therefore means that the aleph, the aluf shaloylam, Hashem is barach, is dar. He's here. So therefore, mishenichnas adar, the tzaddikim say, mishenichnas adar doesn't mean when the month of adar comes in. Mishenichnas adar means when it enters into your heart. The aleph dar, when Hashem's aleph is in your heart, then marbim b'simcha. Then you will be b'simcha. Because you know, that everything Hashem does is for the good. How could you not be besimcha with bitachon like that? So if you'd like gematrias, I'll leave you with one last gematria. If you take mishenichnas, no, marbim simcha, which means the great joy of Adar. It's gematria, like we said, these words of the Gemara. Kol man da'avrachman alatav avir. To teach us, that the marbim b'simcha is a direct result of a person's emunah b'tochen in Hashem, that I believe that everything which is happening is for my good. That's the marbim b'simcha. When we allow the aleph dar to enter into our hearts, that's the story of Megillas Esther. And that's why it's called Megillas Esther. It's named after Esther, because there was a concealment. There was a tremendous concealment. When Esther went into Achashverosh, and the whole tzara, the whole gzer of Haman, it looked like it was checkmate for Klal Yisrael. But there was a woman named Esther that she had emunah bitachin to the max. And there was a tzaddik named Mordechai who backed her. And they said, we know with full confidence this can turn around because in every situation the Ribbono Shel Olam is there. That's called Megillas Esther. V'anochi Hasher Asher Panam Mikem. Even in the darkest situations that we have to encounter, if a Jew goes with this emunah bitachin, and all the achiz ha-sinayim, all the illusions, and everything which seems to be in between us and the Kodesh Baruch Hu, it all fades away. And this is a lesson to apply, of course, like we said before. It's not just how to use and to deal with this circumstance or that circumstance. This is something that, whether he's dealing with his spouse, she with her spouse, with the children, with a boss, with whatever it is in life. If a person realizes that Hashem is everywhere, I'm always interacting with him. So this is the secret episode of Klal Yisrael. This is the Marbim B'Simcha. Hashem should help us, it is, as we've already entered into Adar, and we have another Adar this year. So it's Marbim, Marbim, Marbim B'Simcha. We should be able to, Meretz Hashem, be able to understand this, to apply it, Mishenech Nasadu, to bring it into our hearts, and to share it with our friends and with our families, and to always be speaking about Amun, and always be teaching Bitachon. This is the greatest gift we can give anybody. Hashem should help us to be able to be Zeichet to those Madrigas, and to be Zeichet to finally see Vanachi Asher Pani, then all of the concealments will fade away, and we should be Zeichet to see with our own eyes the coming of Mashiach Tzidkenu from here. Amen. 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 Amen.